some of you had the opportunity to... can you hear me, by the way? Is this okay? Okay. Some of you got to hear her talk to Lynn Johnston earlier. Do we all know that she has a new book coming? Some people don't. Do you not know that? Can I tell you? let me show you. It's very exciting. Drama was fictionalized. It might have been sort of autobiographically influenced. But this is back to autobiography and follow-up with a smile. So it's about sibling relationships. It's a bit episodic. I had the chance to read about half of it, which was pretty exciting. Totally must have, obviously, for your libraries. Okay? There's a page for you. This is just a sketch of the page, obviously. In its finished form, it'll be in color. Just a little preview for you. We happen to have had Kazu Kibuishi drop by today, and so I thought I would let him tell you what to expect from his next book, which is coming out, I think, the same day as Reina's book.
Yeah.
In August. So
can I just come up here?
Yeah, tell us all about it.
Is it from the next book, Amulet Escape from Lucien, the sixth book in the series. Not the last part. There's going to be at least one more. I'm contracted for one more. We'll see where the story ends. But the sixth book is a lot like the second and third books, and that I feel like they're this is a super fast-paced adventure. It's actually technically the longest story that I've done. It's got more panels per page too. The one thing I did while working on Explorer 2 was actually trying to find a way to make the information a little bit more dense, because I noticed that Daisy Cutter, my first graphic novel, was actually technically longer than Amulet 1, as far as a panel-to-panel count. I counted the panels as opposed to the pages, and I noticed that. I was like, hey, why did Daisy Cutter take just as long, or maybe a little bit longer to read, even though it was 60-something pages shorter? It was like 40 pages shorter, I think. And I looked at it, and I realized, oh, I could be a little more efficient with my use of panels. This is all behind-the-scenes stuff, so you guys know these books. Figured you'd be interested. But I decided to find a way to make Amulet 6 a little more packed with stuff. And it feels like it, I think. So it feels like the biggest book. But again, we just finished it. I also finished Explorer, The Hidden Doors. And I did a story for that one, too. And I'm really proud of both the story I did for that book and this one. I think they're both two of the best things that I've worked on. Been extra serious ever since I got well from my illness. I don't know if you know what happened. I had bacterial meningitis. I actually had to teach myself to walk again. Afterwards, I forgot all my friends. I think the last time I was well, I was actually here. Just after I had left from TCAF, I went to a few other events. I got sick, and the next thing I know, I was in a coma, or I'm waking up for a month. And some of that, got into the works that I did, so when you see the new stories, you'll see that I actually talk a little bit about that experience.
Guys, have you heard of Cleopatra in Space? Yes? Has anyone not heard of Cleopatra in Space? Okay. Oh, it's so good! And it really is good. Picture it. Cleopatra in space. It's got a lot of adventure. She's a really sort of snappy, smart character. The art is gorgeous. Mike Weinhardt will be here all weekend if you guys are coming to the festival. This is totally a wonderful adventure. This is for, this can go younger than middle school, but I think it would also do really well in middle school. Oh, and here's page three. This is how many of you guys have fans of Lunch Lady? And you have fans of Baby Mouse? There's a new series by Frank Camus that I think is going for a similar readership. It's got a wry sense of humor. And that is The Misadventures of Sailor Clyde.
It's so good!
And it's so good. She's a witch, as you may have gleaned. The first one came out earlier this year, and we've got the second one. It's actually coming out this weekend at the festival. because that's totally something you guys should check out. And I've been serious to get in on the ground floor. I think it'll do really well for you. Did any of you guys get this in your schools?
Woo!
Woo! Is it so good?
It's
yeah.
so good.
It totally is what you get to meet Star Wars. What if you really wanted to be a pilot, you really wanted to learn to fly spaceships, and unfortunately you weren't good enough and you didn't get into pilot school, and so sadly you had to go to Jedi Academy. That's the starting point here. And so the new one is Return of the Padawan. So look for that. Jeffrey Brown also has some hilarious books that totally are funny for kids, but also are super funny for grown-ups. I don't know if you guys have seen things around Darth Vader and Sons of Vader's cool concepts. Totally something maybe to check out for yourself. You could put them in a children's collection, and definitely in my store. I have kids enjoying them, but they are sort of gifty humor things as well. Do you have a Hilda book? It's going to be a large book. No Hilda? Okay, we'll go with Hilda. Do you guys have the Hilda books in your libraries yet? So, Luke Pearson is a British cartoonist. They're about the French album size, so they're hardcovers that are about this big. My favorite of the ones that are already out is Hilda and the Midnight Giant. This is a story about a girl who lives in the mountains with her mom in like a cottage. They've lived there as long as she can remember. She loves living there. Strange things have been happening around her house. It turns out that there are these tiny, tiny, tiny people who live in a village that sprawls all around their house that have been too small for her to see. And finally they make contact with her. And basically they want her to leave. Because every time she goes out, walks through the garden or whatever, she's destroying all their houses. So they have to make a decision about that. Meanwhile, as you can see in the background on the cover of Hilda and the Giant, there are giants who are so big that Hilda is almost invisible to them. So she's sort of in both positions. It's a really charming story. It's very magical. The art is beautiful. It also reads as a bit of an environmentalist parable, because it's about how sometimes the things that you do in your life may have effects that you don't immediately see, but might be cumulative and might be wrecking something. So it really works that way. His art's great, and he has a new book that's also debuting this weekend, Hilda and the Black Hound. These are beautiful books that are super popular because the art is so engaging, and kids will pick these up. But they also are really rich, and they're the sort of thing that is teachable also. It's got a lot of meat to it. You could write book reports about it. You could have complex conversations about it. It's really good. You guys all know Zita? Do you have a Zita to pass around? This is even coming around for your perusal. Lots of people have been waiting, and it's finally here, the return of Zeta the Space Girl. Another release this weekend, and Ben Hack is here, he'll be here tomorrow, so that's something to look for at the demo in the central. I've got three books that you may or may not recognize on the next slide that are very different from each other. You guys all know the Notes from Jupiter, you know Richard Scrimgeour, obviously hilarious writer. Mark Jocelyn has written 80 bazillion books, and of all types. She's written books for little ones up to sort of teen fiction. And then Claudia Dávila, who's a local artist, did the Luz books. Those are also environmental comics, actually. They, all three of those guys have teamed up to do this novel. This is not a comic. It's not a graphic novel. Called Bimini Crow's comic book, but obviously it's of interest to people who have comics fans in their library. It's set in Toronto. It's about a kid who goes to a comic convention in Toronto and meets this girl whose relatives make this comic book, and this comic book is realer than you might think. It's heavily illustrated. It's local. It's going to be super cool.
Yes.
How many of you have Jellybee in your library? Do we all know about Jellybee? Jellybee has been out of print for a long time and has gotten so much acclaim and so much attention, and you haven't been able to get it. Lots of people have been having their copies sort of wearing out or missing, and it's finally being reissued. So that's exciting news. You can get Dolby again. And Keane will be around this weekend too, if you happen to be at the festival. I want to introduce our second special guest, John Marks. He is going to tell us all about the book that he has coming up from Bionic Press. Bionic Press is a local press that does amazing stuff. And I'm sure you'll tell us all about it.
So that's the cover of the book. So for those of you who are employees of the Toronto Public Library, you might know me from the this year's TV Summer Reading Club artist, so you may have seen some of my work already. So this is my first, this is my book, The Climber, called The Canting Tin, and it is, although it says other stories, I use the term story sort of tongue-in-cheek, because the book is really a sort of series of vignettes, and it's in picture book format, hardcover, and it is mostly wordless. There's some dialogue. The dialogue is mostly textual, rather than a kid can look at it and not have to be able to read to be able to sort of glean what's going on the pages. The book is sort of built upon just a series of double page spreads, these vignettes. We'll have to sort of play around with. It's comics, but it's not comics. It's clearly, there's panels here. But they don't have to be read in any particular order. They don't tell a specific story. Here's another example. It's not panels, but it also is sequential. And each page, as you can see, is sort of split up a little differently. So kids who can't read and maybe can't even read comics can at least sort of, I think, explore these pages. Oh no, end of slideshow.
Are we lost? Going around. I'm going to let you guys read a page here. This is autobiography. Think of it in the tradition of Randall Tolmark's Smile, with a male protagonist. So it's going to be funny. It's not only that sort of wonderful autobiographical kind of story for someone who's, you know, 10, 11 years old, but it's also about wanting to be an artist and a cartoonist. So it's got a couple of angles that it's going to give it a really wide appeal, I think. Did you guys all get Battle Boy this last fall when it came out? Did anyone get this into the library? Yes, I see some hands. Anyone else? Allen Boy is, did we have one that just went around? There's one coming around. Now, you've got to crack that one open because the art is so striking. The colors are amazing in that book. It is by Paul Pope, who has not done kid stuff until now. And the main character here is a 13-year-old kid. But he's not just a kid. He's from a sort of a race of gods, basically. What these gods do, or what these creatures, these sort of heavenly beings do as their sort of coming of age initiation thing, is they make them go and become the champion of something. Meanwhile, down on our planet over here, there's a city that's beset by monsters that used to have a champion that doesn't anymore. So basically, it's an awful lot of gorgeously drawn monster fighting, which is like super fun, obviously. But it's got a bit of a coming of age story to it, too. And so this came out last fall. Why am I telling you about this? Because the second half of the story, which is going to switch the focus on female protagonists, is coming out soon. So that's totally something that you guys should get both halves of. The art is just gorgeous. Totally worth it. There's some interior art of the new one, but it will be in color. Anna and Fraga. You guys familiar with Anna and Fraga at all? Anna and Fraga is also in a French album format. No, we don't have one coming around. Also in a French album format, so sort of a larger hardcover. This can go to pretty young readers, and it is full of awkward, devastatingly awkward humor. It's for that kid that's sort of too smart for their own good, I think. It's about this girl and her animal friends. It's very sort of mundane-seeming adventures. There's two out already, and there's another one coming. I'll just give you guys a moment with this page. You can see the style is really different, but also really accessible, right? I love that last line there. Hardly. Have you ever seen a whale? Things that need very little introduction. Geronimo Stilton, Thea Stilton. There's always new ones. They always circulate. They're super fun. I hope you guys all know all about Courtney Crumb. No? Seeing some notes? Courtney Crumb is a series that was coming out a long time ago, has recently been republished in color, and there are new stories that are also being published. So this is volume 5. It is worth catching up on this. They're in beautiful hardcovers that are going to be really sturdy in your collection. It is about a girl who is pretty good at magic, but maybe not as good as she thinks she is. Really well done, very dark, but totally engaging. This is the kind of book that once you read the first couple of pages, you're going to want to read the whole thing. I have very little to say about this book, except that I don't love the Lego comics myself very much. They're not for me, maybe. But boy, when people come into my store, this is a thing that they really like. So worth looking at. New Lego series of comics. Has anyone seen The Regular Show on TV? Tell us about it. Do you love it? It's funny?
I think it's
funny. I think it's funny too. there are comics. The Regular Show is just wacky humor. I think your Adventure Time readers are gonna love this. It's one of those things that it's a little like silly or raunchy, but it's also got a lot going on. I think it's really fun, and you actually totally get it. Dragon Ball. You may have Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z in black and white manga. They've been releasing sort of larger color volumes. which I think are great. I think a lot of people tell me that a barrier for some kids reading manga is that a lot of it, so much of it is black and white. And then that doesn't appeal to everyone. This is a great option on a classic series, but in full color. They're a little bit more expensive because they are a little bigger. But I think they're going to catch a lot of eyes, for sure. And it's just like pure adventure, you know? I think we have a couple of these Marvel digests around. I don't know if you guys have tried Marvel digests in your libraries lately. The binding on them has changed a little. They used to be one of those things that we would get a lot of them returned to us because they were falling apart. They seem to be sturdier now. I think it's worth giving them another go. They are not going to necessarily be the things your kids are going to get to write book reports on in school, but they have a lot of pop appeal, they have a lot of movie tie-in potential, and a lot of them go in series, so if you can get a kid hooked on Avengers Assemble, why not? And get them coming back and coming back, just like the Marvel series. Anybody Hellboy? Do you guys see this? This is adorable. Don Eisner, I believe. Balthazar's art is awesome. And yeah, comics and action is my favorite. These are totally can go to your young readers, readers who want things that are a bit superhero-ish. Lots of superheroes like the ones we just looked at are a little bit more funny than these. These are just like adorable adventure. Hey, Jim Zeldovich, I wonder if you'd like to join us up here as our third special guest to tell us all about Samurai Jack. Yay!
Alright, how many of you guys watched the Samurai Jack cartoon back in the early 2000s? A few of you? It's on reruns right now on Cartoon Network, and the show had a real crazy cult following for quite a while, so let me talk to you a little bit about it. It was an award-winning animated series that was run on Cartoon Network from 2001 to 2004, and now it's back as a comic book series that launched late last year. It's illustrated by multiple Emmy award-winning animator and designer Andy Soriano. And it's a classic Stranger in a Strange Land style story filled with colorful characters, bizarre locations, and lots of fun. It's action-packed, but it's totally, it has content that's appropriate for 8+. So Andy, he was one of the original designers on the series. And when IDW got the license for Samurai Jack, he actually sought them out and said that he really wanted to, you know, that project meant so much to him as a designer. So even now, while he's still working on the Mickey Mouse cartoons, the new shorts that are coming out, he's working on the new Turtles cartoon. In his evenings, he's drawing the Samurai Jack comic because he's just that prolific. And so I'm working with him on the series. And so you've got a couple of covers here. They're really beautiful, beautiful artwork. Just crazy quality on the and really eye-catching stuff. Beautiful compositions that they put together for it. But at the same time, it's also, it is a kid's comic. I mean, there's lots of really cool storytelling, really fun, epic adventure, and traveling to all sorts of different places. This one's pretty amazing. Jack goes to this sort of ice village up in the middle of the mountains. Is this not long for? Oh, there we go. Sorry, it's hard for me to tell them what's showing up. Is that just blank?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's great. There's actually a lot of
there it is.
All right. Weird. Yeah, on my screen it looks completely different than what I got thrown up there. We will make it work.
We've got two pages up there.
Two pages? That's weird. Okay. So you can see there's all sorts of action. It's really it really is that Stranger in Strangeland style story, and you've got Jack as this protagonist going from location to location, trying to find a way to get back in time to where he originally came from. So what I love about the series is it's kind of like this genre melting pot. You've got a little bit of science fiction, you've got a little bit of sort of martial arts, you've got fantasy type elements all brought together in this really cool, irresistible package. Kids love it. Adults have a lot of nostalgia for it, and teenagers nowadays, if they were in their, if they were 5 or 6 years old when it first came out, now they're 16, 17 years old, and so you've got quite a bit of nostalgia for the series as well. So volume one comes out next month, and then we're already talking about volume two. Originally, we were only supposed to do 5 issues, but the response has been so strong that they keep renewing us. So in blocks of 5. So we were told, okay, we're going to get 5 issues, and they told me 10, 15. Last time I talked to Cartoon Network, they were like, we're just going to keep it going. So I'm thrilled to be on board and loving having a lot of fun putting it together. So do you guys have any questions or anything about the series? All good? Okay. Cool.
Thanks.
No problem.
Read Power Lunch Volume 1. I see some nods and some no's. Power Lunch is a series by Jay Flores, who actually maybe still is around, because around earlier from a lot of panels. Power Lunch is a story about an ordinary kid who, whatever food he needs, it gives him a different superpower. So if he eats apples, he can jump over tall buildings. If he eats a chocolate bar, he can see through things. That's the general idea, right? It tackles some real sort of schoolyard issues. There's some issues of bullying and that sort of thing, and helping out people who are being bullied. But what's really significant, I think, for those of you especially who are in school libraries, is that it's pretty sort of older interests, but fairly lower reading level. There's not a lot of text on the page. The kids don't look very babyish, though. So if you have people who are struggling with text, this is a great option for them. Where they won't feel like they have a baby book. It's a book with kids their own age, but it's still not covering any words. It's a good option for that, for sure. And we can talk about nutrition. Sonic the Hedgehog, you guys must have in your collections. I'm not sure if you guys have as much Mega Man in your collections. Yes, I see some nods. Well, did you know that the Sonic and Mega Man worlds collided recently? in Sonic and Mega Man worlds collide. Sonic's always good sort of sell. People like Sonic. Mega Man is always a solid sell. People like Mega Man. People were freaking out about this crossover. I have never, and it was very confusing when it was single issues because they were numbered strangely, and I have never seen so many kids trying to find single issue comics before as when this was happening. So totally going to be popular now that I don't. Merman. Merman is a series that came out, I think, a year and a half ago, the first one. The second one came out more recently, and the third one is coming. Merman is a fish out of water story. It thinks of a little mermaid, but with a boy. So he really wants to be where the people are. Right? He wants to go to school like regular kids, but the fish want that. Totally something worth getting. And this is another one that's not too tough to read. They're a little longer, though. Totally good. Does anyone have any wrestling fans in their school or maybe in their library? Yes. That is why you would buy this book. This is the sort of thing that someone is going to just take out over and over because they just love wrestling. And it's coming out. It's been surprisingly popular. Yeah, I think it deserves it. This is a series that is full of text. It's all dinosaurs, and it's got a lot of reading. This is another thing that's like a surefire. There's one going around. So crack that open and see how many words on page there are. It's a meaty read. Like, you really got to read that book, but you're all going to see what comes around. But it's a lot of dinosaur adventure, too. This is definitely going to be a popular choice for you. You guys all know these books. They do pretty well for you. Actually, Scott Chandler might be in the room somewhere. He was here earlier. The new book, out already. Have this right now if you want it. The cover design is very different. When you see the books together, they're not going to look like they match. This is what the next few books in the series are going to look like, though, this general sort of look to them. So don't be afraid. You've got the right series, and it's out right now. This book we have, it's coming around. This is a Holocaust draft novel for kids. It can go pretty young. It is, you know, heavy subject matter, but the characters are, you know, maybe 7, 8 years old.
It really does a good job of telling this piece of history from that kid perspective. So obviously it's not going to be a light read, but it's going to be a read that the kids, I think, will understand. The art is gorgeous. As it comes around, you should definitely flip through. And I think this is one of those books that actually should just go in every single library. Like, there's no, in my mind, there's no question about that. Here's a little bit of interior art for you. Gaijin, American Prisoner of War. This is a fascinating, fascinating book about the Japanese internment in America. I'll show you, I'll flip right ahead to the interior art. It's very distinctive. The style's very different. And it really jumps off the page. So the colors are just awesome. This is a story of a kid whose dad is Japanese and his mom is American. And his dad, before the war started, had gone back to Japan for business reasons, reasons completely unrelated to the war. Pearl Harbor happens. The war is happening. Dad obviously can't come back to Japan right then. He's got to stay there. And so this kid, who is half Japanese, is living with his mom in San Francisco, and he gets a letter that he has to relocate to an internment camp. She, of course, does not get a letter. She's a white lady. And so she goes, you know, she's obviously upset. She goes down to the office and tries to explain, like, look, this kid's from America. You know, he's never been to Japan, he doesn't speak Japanese. Like, I'm his mom, I'm this white lady. Like, what do you say? And they're like, well, sure, you can go with him too. No problem, man. They both move into the camp. While he being too Japanese to be allowed to live in California, not in a camp. Now, in the camp, the other kids his age regard him as the white kid. So there's some interesting tensions there, and it does a really good job of not handing, I'm sort of handing this to you in my spiel here, but the book is not going to hand it to you that clearly. It does a good job of filtering it through sort of bullying and the social interactions that happen. It's totally an interesting read. Mad Kettle, The Adventure of the Thimble Witch. This is, look at the art here. This is very different from anything you've got in your shelves. Eric Orchard's book has been a long time coming. His art, when you see the originals, is so detailed. It's just beautiful, and this is a fantastical adventure that I think is really going to do well. And I think the last thing I want to remind everyone is that Adventure Time is still going strong. It's still awesome. There's lots of spin-offs. They're all super fun. It's really silly, but it's really rich. I think everyone should read it because Adventure Time is cool. So that's sort of your whirlwind tour. Of, you know, if I were buying 40 titles for your school or public library for your children's collection in September, say, well, most of these things will be out by then, that would be a good buy for you guys, I think. But we're always around if you ever want us to make you a custom list based on what you've done. I don't know if you guys would have any questions, because I didn't write any of those books, so I don't know how much I can answer for you. But I'm around if you want to talk about that. And otherwise, I think that concludes my presentation. Thank you for listening to me. Rattle on about these books. I also I want to thank our guests. I want to thank Kazu and John and Jim for coming up and talking. And I definitely want to thank again Scholastic Canada, IEW, Biz, and First Second for helping us put together some of the door prizes and the patron packs and things like that for your thing. And there you go. That's your librarian and educator day. Thanks a lot.